The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivy of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the June 2019 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to begin with the third piece of Who's Who in Sport, page 8. Manny Machado, third baseman, San Diego Padres. His height is 6'3". His weight is 215 pounds. He was born July 6, 1992 in Miami, Florida. Machado, a four-time All-Star, signed a 10-year, $300 million contract with San Diego in February. At the time, the richest free agent deal in history. Later in the month, Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies for $330 million. Through April 23rd, Machado had 4 home runs, 20 hits, and 9 RBIs. He was batting .241 and slugging at .410. He played mostly shortstop in 2018 with the Orioles and Dodgers, but won Gold Glove Awards at third in 2013 and 2015. Question. Before Machado signed, who had linked the two biggest contracts? Answer: Alex Rodriguez, $275 million with the Yankees, and $252 million with the Rangers. Next, we have Dominic Thiem, tennis player, ATP Tour. His height is 6'1", his weight is 174 pounds. He was born September 31st, 1993, in Neustadt, Australia. In March, Thiem defeated Roger Federer 3-6, 6-3, 7-5 to win the BNP Paribas Open, his first victory at an event classified as ATP Masters 1000. The third tier after the Grand Slams and ATP Finals. Thiem had lost in his two previous trips to an ATP Masters 1000 final, one last May and one in 2017. His other tour wins had come at lower-level tournaments. Thiem was ranked 8th in the world before the victory. He jumped to 4th after it, tying his career high. Country. Question. What country is Roger Federer from? Answer: Switzerland. And finally, we have Natalia Guica. She's a defender of Florida State. Her height is 5'6". She was born December 1st, 1995 in Kemi, Finland. In her second season as team captain, Kuika helped the Seminoles shut out 4 opponents in the 2018 NCAA tournament en route to winning the national championship. She was named to the College Cabal tournament team. She also earned the Honda Sport Award, given to the nation's top women's soccer player. Kuika, who first played for Finland's senior team when she was 17, was named the country's Female Player of the Year in 2017. And final question, where will the 2019 Women's World Cup take place? Answer: France. Advertisement: Oceana and Nina Dobrev want to save sharks. So here a picture of a young lady in the water with a shark. I used to be scared, but then I learned the facts. Nina Dobrev, actress and ocean advocate. Sharks keep the oceans healthy and are really interested in us. It's actually our interest in their fins that's scary. Millions of sharks end up in the global fin trade every year. Visit oceana.org/savesharks to see more from Nina and learn how you can help protect these vital ocean animals. Oceana, protecting the world's oceans. Prime time. Picture here of DK Metcalf, his team, Seattle Seahawks, position wide receiver. Spotlight. The former University of Mississippi star was the talk of draft season after his dazzling combine performance. But the second round pick is ready to show he's more than just a workout wonder. DK Metcalf is still grappling with the realization that he's a celebrity in his hometown. The wide receiver no longer goes out to eat in Oxford, Mississippi, where he's lived since fifth grade. He has his food delivered. He goes to Walmart at night to avoid crowds. During a photo shoot along Lamar Boulevard in downtown Oxford, Metcalf grew visibly uncomfortable as people shouted his name across the street. "Do we have to do this here?" he begged. It's equal parts refreshing and endearing to see the 21-year-old Metcalf adjust to his newfound fame, which is largely a result of his performance at March's NFL Combine. Over 4 days in Indianapolis, he ran faster and bench-pressed more reps than any other receiver in history who's weighed at least 225 pounds. Teams were impressed, especially the Seattle Seahawks, who selected the 6'3", 228-pound Metcalf with the 64th pick at the 2019 draft. Though his combine put other receivers to shame, see the chart, questions remain about his consistency. He completed only 21 games in three college seasons as a broken foot and broken neck bookended a career in which he caught 67 passes for 1,228 yards and 14 touchdowns. But Metcalf models his game after big receivers like Julio Jones and Calvin Johnson and brushes off comparisons to past combine stars of similar builds whose feats didn't translate to the NFL. "They need to stop comparing me to past people," Metcalf says. "Ain't nobody ever did what I did." Family ties. Terrence Metcalf played offensive line for 7 seasons for the Chicago Bears before he and his family returned to Oxford, where he had played his college ball in 2009. His son, DeKalen, was 12. DeKalen became DK on the Pee Wee football field, where he played tailback. Right away, Metcalf knew he was destined to play for the local university. By his freshman year of college in 2016, he was shooting pool in the locker room where his dad's framed jersey hangs. "It was about loyalty, and it was about more than a 4-year decision for me," Metcalf says. He suffered a broken left foot 2 games into his freshman season and received a medical redshirt. In 2017, Metcalf and Mississippi were 3-5 with an interim coach heading into a game against Kentucky. The previous week, the Rebels had blown a 31-7 second quarter lead in a loss to Arkansas, and Mississippi seemed destined for a long coaching search. Late in the fourth quarter against Kentucky, Mississippi drove down the field, and Metcalf caught the game-winning touchdown with 5 seconds remaining. He took a wrestling championship belt the receivers had been using as a sideline touchdown trophy, handed it to interim coach Matt Luke, hugged him, and shouted, "I got you." "The play he made against Kentucky is probably the reason I'm sitting here," Luke, now the permanent head coach, says while sitting in his office attempting to hide his emotions. Over the next year, Jacob Peeler, the receivers coach, regularly received text from Metcalf asking for his key card to get into the indoor practice facility. Metcalf would run routes and catch passes from a jugs machine operated by his little sister Zaharia, timed at 4.5 seconds in the 40 in high school. Metcalf had it down to a 4.46 at the start of last season. 6 games into his redshirt sophomore season in 2018, Metcalf was third in the SEC in receiving yards and, according to Pro Football Focus, ranked the best among all receivers since 2016 on go-route catches and 50 yards per reception. Then he broke his neck. A hit to the chin against Arkansas sent his head back and to his right. Metcalf learned he had chipped the C3 vertebrae in his neck. It was unclear if he'd be able to play ever again. Metcalf was able to have surgery within 2 weeks and recovered quickly. The injury can be very serious, but by January of this year, he was cleared to play football again, and the doctor told him there was no risk of re-injury. A religious family, the Metcalfs now treat each day as even more of a blessing. When I'm around him, I get emotional because I just know what could have been, Terrence says. DK promised not to waste his opportunity. With his dad, he started using a motto during his training. Set the ceiling. He told me one day to be the ceiling. Don't reach for it. Metcalf says, be who everybody's chasing. Be who everybody's trying to beat. I tried to go into the combine to be the best at every category, and I almost did that. Muscle Man. At his pro day, Metcalf appeared much more Bruce Banner than the Incredible Hulk, which is to say he's clearly the most ripped guy in any group, but not as comically large as a shirtless photo of him that went viral in February might suggest. His size is still limiting, though, making him a stiffer receiver who finds it harder to maneuver in and out of his transitions. For some teams, that'll be okay. One AFC executive says, throw it up there and tell him to go get it. Metcalf may lack experience, but Seattle is hoping that his unique mix of size and speed will make him a nightmare for smaller cornerbacks to cover. And though the NFL Combine's history is full of workout warriors who fizzled at the next level, Metcalf isn't worried. As he himself pointed out, no one has done what he's been able to do. Speed skills. Running a blazing 40-yard dash at the Combine will always put a receiver on the map. But does that speed forecast NFL success? The results are mixed. John Ross, Cincinnati Bengals. In 2017, Ross set the record for the fastest 40 in Combine history, clocking in at 4.22 seconds. That shot Ross up draft boards, and the Bengals took him 9th overall. He lost most of his entire rookie season to injury, and in 2018 he had just 21 catches for 210 yards. Travis Benjamin, Los Angeles Chargers. Benjamin ran a 4.36 at the 2012 Combine. He took a few seasons to adjust to the NFL, but he's been a reliable deep threat for the Chargers since he signed with the team as a free agent in 2016. He's also a dynamite return man. Tyrone Calico, Tennessee Titans. Calico burst onto the team's draft radars after running a 4.27 in 2003. That got him drafted in the second round by Tennessee, but he never found his footing in the NFL, playing in parts of 3 seasons and catching only 4 touchdowns. Marquise Goodwin, San Francisco 49ers. Goodwin, an accomplished track athlete who competed at the 2012 Olympics, posted a 4.27 at the Combine the next year. A big-time deep threat, Goodwin has blossomed into a reliable receiver and recently signed an extension to stay with the 49ers until 2021. Meet the Seattle is the NHL. We ask you to submit your jersey ideas for the newest NHL franchise. Should the team sport one of your designs? Here are some of our favorites. We have one with a grizzly yeti for Seattle. Then we have one uniform that says Seattle Steelhead with the Seattle logo of their capital city in his hand. Then there's Seattle Coffee Beans. Seattle Coffee Beans. That's from Malachi, age 11. The Seattle Yeti was from Ezra, age 10, from Washington. The Seattle Steelhead from Andrew, age 13, from Ohio. We have the Seattle Puck Hawk from Braden, age 8, New Hampshire. We have the Seattle Jets. That's from Harry, age 12, in Colorado. We have the Seattle Pikes from Lindsay, age 10, Ontario. The Seattle Snow Leopards from Kelsey, age 10, in Washington. The Seattle Bad Apples, Michael, age 11, from Idaho. We have the Seattle Salmon, that's from Alec, age 14, from Hawaii. We have the Seattle Lasers from Carson, age 11, Virginia. Seattle Saucers from Everett, age 10, from Massachusetts. We have the Seattle Rattle. This is from Jack, age 11, from Ontario. The Seattle Platypee. That's from Michael, age 12, from Ohio. And finally, we have the Seattle Cascades. Kraken. That's from Rachel, age 13, in Nevada. Good luck, guys. Poster face-off. Communities in school. In schools to unlock potential. At the beginning of his freshman year, Jalen's ambition wavered. He lost sight of his goals and found himself straying from his path. Toriano from Communities in School became his trusted guide, working with Jalen to improve his attendance, raise his GPA, and set clear goals for the future. Now a senior, Jalen is a first chair trombone player and drum major in his high school marching band. He is exploring musical scholarship opportunities for college, and he has dreams of becoming a United States Marshal. There are millions of at-risk kids like Jalen who need a caring adult to help them stay in school and succeed in life. See how we help all kids succeed? CommunitiesInSchool.org. Now we have Poster Face Off. This month, Tiger Woods golfer and Bryce Harper, Philadelphia Phillies outfielder. Age, Tiger Woods is 43, Bryce Harper is 26. Height and weight. Tiger is 6'1", 185 pounds. Bryce Harper is 6'3", 220 pounds. Hometown, Cypress, California for Tiger and Las Vegas, Nevada for Bryce. Nickname, Tiger. He was born Eldrick Taunt Woods, but his father, Earl, gave him the nickname Tiger in honor of a friend he served with in the Vietnam War. However, Earl sometimes called his son Sam because he felt he looked more like a Sam than a tiger. For Bryce, Mondo is a family nickname given to him by his uncle when Harper was playing D-ball. Why Mondo? No one really knows. Though his teammates don't use the moniker, Harper wore it on the back of his Players Weekend jersey in 2018. Interesting food fact. For Tiger, eats at least 5 meals a day, which says that when he gets really hungry, his standby dish is steak and potatoes. Bryce has a food-related Instagram feed, harp.eats. Harper and his wife, Kayla, post pictures of interesting grub they consume. Judging by the feed, Harper really likes ice cream. Grand Slam. Has won 15 major tournaments, the second most in history. In 2001, Woods simultaneously held all of the major titles. Winning the 4 majors consecutively in a non-calendar year has become known as the Tiger Slam. Bryce Harper has hit 3 in his career. Interestingly, 2 of the 3 have come against Braves pitcher Julio Teheran, and 2 of the 3 have come on April 19th. He did it on that date in 2016 and 2017. Lucky shirt. Always wears red for the final round of the tournament. He once explained, "My mom thinks that's my power color, and you know you should always listen to your mom." For Bryce, once said he wore the same undershirt every day. Among the other superstitions he admitted to, showering 7 times a day and eating waffles before every game. Money Man. Tiger is the all-time leading money winner in PGA Tour history, with more than $118 million in earnings. Bryce Harper signed biggest contract in baseball history. The deal with the Phils since surpassed is worth $330 million. Highlights. Bryce Harper first. 2013. As a free agent, 2019 as a free agent, Harper signed what was then the biggest contract in baseball history. His 13-year deal with the Phillies will pay him $330 million. Harper homered in 3 of his first 4 games as Philadelphia got off to a 4-0 start. Harper was named the National League MVP after a season in which he hit 42 home runs for the Washington Nationals. He also led the league in on-base percentage and slugging percentage. 2012, 2 years after the Nets selected him with the first pick in the draft, Harper made his big league debut as a 19-year-old. He slammed 22 home runs and was named National League Rookie of the Year. And for Tiger, highlights, career highlights. 2019, Woods returned to the spotlight by winning the Masters, his first victory at one of golf's four majors in 11 years. Trailing by two strokes entering the final round, Woods shot a 2-under par 70 to win by one shot. The victory, his fifth at Augusta National, gave Woods 15 major titles. That's just three behind Jack Nicklaus's all-time record. In 2001, with the victory at the Masters, Woods became the first golfer ever to be the reigning champion at all four majors. He won the United States Open, British Open, and PGA Championship in 2000. The feat has become known as the Tiger Slam. Winning those four majors in 1 year is called the Grand Slam, but no one has ever accomplished it. 1994, after winning the United States Junior Amateur Championship in each of the previous 3 years, Woods captured the United States Amateur. At age 18, he was the youngest player ever to win the tournament. Alez. Page 29. Go. Alex Morgan, Kirill Lloyd, Crystal Dunn, and Megan Rapinoe from Met will lead the charge for the United States. Less than three decades after it was first held, the Women's World Cup has become a must-watch event. This month in France, the United States looks to collect its fourth title and strike another blow for equality. World Cup Preview. Beginning this month, players and fans, lots of fans from 24 countries, will descend on France. They'll be there for the Women's World Cup. It's just the eighth installment of the tournament, but it's arguably the most anticipated sporting event of the summer. Consider, the last time the tournament was staged in Canada 4 years ago, 1.35 million fans attended. The final game in which the United States beat Japan remains the most watched televised soccer game in United States history. The number of fans who turned in, 25.4 million, dwarfed the previous record set during the United States men's game against Portugal in the 2014 World Cup, and United States versus Japan outdrew every game of the 2015 NBA Finals. How did the event grow to be so huge? It all started 31 years ago when FIFA, the governing body for international soccer, decided to find out if a Women's World Cup was even possible. They organized a trial run in China, inviting 12 teams. At that point, the United States had played only 21 games. Its players hardly ever trained together. They wore hand-me-down uniforms from the men's team. A few players weren't even in college yet. The United States made it to the quarterfinals, but the tournament received virtually no coverage in the American press. Still, some progress was made. FIFA decided to put on a bigger tournament in 1991, again in China. The United States players and coaches had learned a valuable lesson in 1988. They had been treated extremely well by Chinese fans and officials. As honored guests, they were given exotic food, which included things like fish heads and chicken feet, not exactly staples of the team's training table. Has a picture here of the girls holding the trophy. Forward march. We learned that if there's a World Cup in China, you should bring your own chef, midfielder Julie Foudy said years later. Forward march. Morgan, who will play in her third World Cup, had become a leader for the United States. The striker above in a 2018 friendly game against China scored her 100th goal for the USNWNT this spring. Kickstarters. With the United States national team returned to China in 1991, they brought two chefs with them. One was defender Carla Overbeck's husband, and the other was Coach Anson Dorrance's brother. They were in charge of cooking food, but also making sure things were of our taste so we weren't going to get sick, remembers midfielder Christine Lilly, who played in the World Cups. The tournament was held in November. so the players were away from home for Thanksgiving. Their chefs prepared a meal in their hotel, and soccer legend Pelé stopped by. Just as in 1988, the United States team wasn't made up of full-time players. April Hendricks, the team captain, was the coach of the University of Maryland's women's soccer team. Goalkeeper Barry Harvey worked as a consultant for a business firm. They needed to hold down steady jobs because they had only started getting paid $1,000 a month for being on the team shortly before leaving for China. And they knew that if they won the tournament, they would have to divide the $50,000 prize among 18 players plus the coaches and staff. At the time, a single player on the team that won the Men's World Cup could expect to earn about $250,000. Despite the success of the 1988 tournament, there were still some in the soccer community who doubted that women would be able to handle a grueling tournament or perform like the men. Games were only 80 minutes long instead of 90, and there were discussions about playing the game with a smaller ball. Thanks to Michelle Akers, who scored 10 goals, the United States won the tournament. The reception was better than in 1988. United States games were televised on a small cable sports network, but it was clear that the women's game still had a long way to go. The matches drew big crowds. The final had an attendance of 59,000, but only a handful of rabid fans made the trip from the United States. I remember we probably had about 100 United States fans over there that were watching us, says Lily. We were so excited to see red, white, and blue in the crowd. Only one reporter met the team when it returned to the United States. At the next Cup in Sweden in 1995, the United States played in front of crowds as small as 1,100. It was a very low-key event. Says Lily, I can remember after one of our games, I actually walked home to our hotel with my family. Global growth. For years later, it was a different story. After the United States women won gold at the 1996 Olympics, people started to take notice. With the 1999 World Cup being held in the United States, the players did everything they could to raise awareness. They held autograph signings and surprised girls' teams at their practices. Our mindset was always, if people came to watch us, they would get hooked, says Lily. And they did. After the United States beat Nigeria 7-1 in front of 6,580 fans in Chicago, a teenage girl chased after the team bus. The legal action is ongoing, but don't expect it to affect the United States women team this summer in France. One thing the players have shown in the past three decades is that their focus is always on performing their best, no matter how small or massive the stage might be. Well, that's all we have time for today. We've run out of time for Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.